Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the You Got a Minute Fan Podcast. As always, I am your host, the Commish, and I am joined by the Anakin Skywalker of IBN. His name is Actively Lazy.
And fuck this stupid app.
Oh, it's that. A good craftsman never blames his tool. That's what I was taught.
And I can barely hear myself in my headphones now. I think my son messed it up. Now I'm about to get mad for real.
A good parent never blames their children. You just so many teachable lessons here. I know, right? I know that's not true. They're destructive. I know something that's near and dear to your heart. We haven't done this in 2 weeks, so it's gone. It's gone into the Jonathan Taylor week or half a week. But it basically started with Saquon Barkley's supposed holdout. Not much of a holdout if you don't do it very long or don't even make it to a preseason game, but he held out. And then we have Jonathan Taylor, who wanted more money after that. And he basically has been rebuffed. And his owners literally said, nobody will remember him. No one will miss him after he's gone. And then Saquon, who was offered the franchise tag, refused to play on it, and got $1 million more in his one-year contract. Do running backs matter?
For the teams like the Colts and the Falcons and all these other people that you see speaking the loudest, it doesn't matter for them. But no, by and large, yes, the position of running back is not as important as wide receiver or quarterback. But I'm still not buying into this notion that anybody can do it, because that's just not true. And the guys who people keep using as examples to anybody can do it don't have the same usage rate as the guys who are complaining that they're not getting paid enough. Like Najee Harris, it can't be compared to Pacheco, because Pacheco only had a 15% usage. I went back and looked at the little meme that you posted. I ran the numbers on the usage rate because I made a post about this a while ago when Zeke was asking for his money. Any running back who accounts for about 30% of your offense obviously can't sustain that workload. Like your body can't sustain that kind of workload because you're running, catching, and blocking. They fall apart within 2 to 3 years. The outlier with that is probably Derrick Henry. He's the only one that can say he didn't fall apart in about 3 years. But guys like Pacheco, the Sony Michel and stuff like that, those guys go through the regular season and none of them have a usage rate higher than 20%. The only one who had close to 30 was LeGarrette Blount. I think back in 2016, he was 29% of the Patriots offense. When they get to the playoffs, everybody that was on that list was close to 30%. So if anything, they just need to do a better job of preserving the running backs, because to say they don't matter isn't wholly true, because you're not using the guys that you're saying are replacing these people in the same manner. If you use Pacheco for 30% of the season of your offense, then let me see if he matters come playoff time. That's all I'm asking.
So but that team I just is think
That the NFL team, just needs to do something about the way they're paid.
That team is purposely designed so they don't have to rely on the running back, though. They got the quarterback, so they don't have to have the usage. And I also think one of the big factors in all this is that you're not getting a lot of those backs that even are fundamental, or foundational backs. Most of the teams have running backs by committee. So you can get away with the running back by committee and not necessarily need the Jonathan Taylors. Now, that team, if you're bad, the quickest way to get good is to run the ball and play defense. That's what the Giants did. The funny thing about Saquon is, without Saquon, Daniel Jones doesn't have the year that he has. So how can you not pay Saquon a little bit? Maybe you give him $14 million for 2 years. I believe the cap was pretty good. So that one is insulting when everything you did on offense revolved around Saquon. So he had value. Derrick Henry, and he got paid. He had value. Probably still does have value. So it's case by case. But in large, like some of these guys, I would pay Kamara. If you can't catch out the backfield, though, your value is limited. If you can't be like third down specialist, if you can't be an extra slot receiver on some level like Kamara or like McCaffrey, you could pay those backs. And Saquon is not the greatest out of the backfield, but you could pay those back. But the way you play, if it all relied on that running back, you should pay him something. Give him a 2 or 3 year contract. Maybe you can get out of it on the third year, you know, but they could have dressed this up to have a little better team around. And it's what the guy means in the building too. And evidently Saquon means a lot in the building.
Man, Saquon's a clown. Like, I'm mad for running backs that somebody would get on that call, make a big deal about it, be so public about it, and then turn around and cross the line for basically $1 million on incentives that he'll probably never get. And even if you do get the incentives, like, what did you really gain? It's just a glorified franchise tag. I still say that they just need to do away with how they pay the running backs, give them different contracts up front. Guys like Zeke, why you shouldn't pay backs. If you look at his first 3 years, he earned his money. Like, he earned his money. That's all to it. They just need a different rookie structured contract. That's all. But yeah, I'm never going to be able to say that Christian McCaffrey is more valuable than, hell, even Brock Purdy. Like, I'm sorry. That's just the nature of the position, you know?
If you've got a good team, you're going to have a pretty decent quarterback for the most part. And even Tannehill, as much as he feeds off the play action and things like that, when he was playing well and they were going far in the playoffs, he was still a pretty good quarterback and not necessarily more valuable, but statistically more valuable than Derrick Henry. But let's go to the running back meeting. I forgot who it was. I don't know if it was Maddie or it was Nick Miller, but they had the meeting on Zoom. And he was like, if it was that important of a meeting, why is it a Zoom call for the running backs meeting to discuss this?
The NFLPA is a joke. The running backs, like, I'm not trying to down football players, to NFL players, professionals in general, but they need some structure, man. Like, if you're essentially trying to form a union, that's basically what they're trying to do, because the current union, NFL Players Association, doesn't have your best intentions at heart. If they did, they would have got in front of this years ago. I mean, we're talking about dating back to Le'Veon Bell fighting for a contract and having to sit out, I think, a season. And then he went to the Jets and got paid just a little bit. But, like, I mean, I remember vividly arguing with people in the group about that something needed to be done. And I remember pointing out that it was Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, and Christian McCaffrey were high usage backs, and Derrick Henry. And then here we are in 2023. That's damn near 6-7 years ago. And we're having this same argument. And then, you know, the idea was good. Like, you know, we're going to get together, we're going to try to figure something out. But doing it on a Zoom call, like, I don't know, man. Like, do a running back, like, retreat or something. I mean, like, they broke. They could have got together at somebody's house or something and did it. But the Players Association needs to do something. Like, I fear for the game of football at the NFL level if people really think running backs don't matter. Like, I just hate that sublime. It's similar to defund the police, you know? Like, that blanket statement, is it true? I mean, I hate to make that correlation, but it's not necessarily true. Like, you know, the message isn't to take all the money from cops and not have any police. Just, like, the message shouldn't be that running backs truly don't matter because they block, they run, they catch. It's the only position that you can say
do everything
that gets hit, like, all the time. They do everything.
That's true.
I saw Ezekiel Elliott try to block Aaron Donald. I don't see Justin Jefferson trying to block him. You know what I'm saying? Like, bless his heart, he got murdered. But come on, man. We have to do better.
ESPN, who has been firing everybody, evidently because Pat McAfee had to get hired. But no, in general, Disney is hemorrhaging money. They're having a lot of controversy. There's even rumors that they might sell ESPN and ABC or one or the other. But in their cuts, I know the Van Gundy cut, maybe they were going to do it anyway, but they cut Van Gundy a couple weeks ago. And then this week they cut Mark Jackson, or they released, or however you want to say it, released Mark Jackson, and their new team still got Breen, the wonderful Doris Burke, in my opinion, and then out of nowhere, Doc Rivers, Glenn Rivers.
Whoa. Why you call him Glenn, bro?
I don't know how I can listen to this for a whole 3 hours all the time.
Y'all jerks, man. You know Doc had that, like, that throat surgery issue thingy that he had.
Cut back on the cigarettes.
He used to do TNT, didn't he?
Yeah, he used to do it. Yeah. I don't know why he's like that. I didn't know there was an issue. I don't know.
Apparently he had like a throat issue, I think is what they said. But either way, he's a whole lot better on that part of the sideline than he is in the coaching.
It's gotten worse. That voice has gotten worse, though. I don't know if I could deal with that. I mean, he's intelligent. He's a good speaker, but I'm not dealing with that.
He don't got to yell as much, man. Who knows?
Get That's true, too. It's not as – he won't have to raise his voice as much. But
yeah.
I would have taken J.J. Redick. A lot of people say he's too smug, but he's very smart. He would have broke the game down. I mean, if you're going to place Mac Jackson – now, I don't necessarily like Jalen, but he's not bad. If you put Jalen and Doris Burke, they have good chemistry. That would have been fun, but I don't know. I was tired of Mark Jackson, but I wasn't tired of Van Gundy. He brought – if the game was boring, Van Gundy was going to help you keep watching it.
Jeff cared, and that's why I like
him.
Yeah,
exactly.
He genuinely cared. Like, he was a genuine fan of basketball, and he held refs accountable. He held his coworkers accountable. Hell, players, he even held obviously. Himself accountable. Yep. Yeah,
the league.
Yeah, like yeah. But he did it in a way that he wasn't a dick about it. So, yeah.
Hopefully he'll go to TNT. That would be good.
The unfortunate part is you can't get Jeff without Mark, man. I'm sorry.
Tough. It'd be funny.
And I feel bad for the play-by-play guy. Like, that's his squad. Like, could you imagine if they got rid of Kenny or Chuck and Shaq? And left my man Ernie with KG. So that would be weird. Like,
that would be,
we love Jamal Crawford filling in. We love Draymond when he fills in, and some of these other guys like Dwayne Wade. But this is the crew.
Yeah.
And so ESPN just missed the mark, man. I don't know what their company's doing. It's like whoever's running ESPN also runs the New York Mets. There's no direction. You're just out here.
Sean Payton made some news, and the thing about it is I'm very upset that he backtracked. But basically, what he said was that why can't I think of his name? I first stumped the coach of Denver last year. Yeah, Hackett. Hackett, who's currently the offense coordinator for the Jets. He basically said he was the worst coach of all time, and the Jets are a preseason winner, and they're on Hard Knocks, and that doesn't matter. He brought back the Redskins and Deion Sanders. He was just on a scorched earth thing, and I don't know what was getting into him. But he told no lies. And I'm sorry, he backtracked. I don't know. ESPN is weird. When they get really moralistic, it bothers me. So everybody in the ESPN panel said that was bad. But he didn't lie about anything.
They said it was bad that he backtracked, or bad that he said it?
No, bad that he said it.
Well, I mean, it is.
It breaks the code.
Come on now. Yes. Come on now. We've been around the league long enough. Come on, bro. We've been around the NFL league and the news wise. Like, I'm not saying we're like in the end, but we have been fans of this sport long enough to know that there is an unwritten rule in coaching. Now, players, sure, fair game, but coaches do not openly and publicly criticize other head coaches or even coordinators. Like, you just don't do that. And I, for one, am very happy that he did, because Hackett was the worst fucking coach I've ever seen in the NFL since I've been watching the NFL. Like, even Tom Sula looked like he had some kind of cool. This man Hackett was better than that.
I got a question for you, though.
Go ahead.
Have you ever worked a job where you had to come in behind somebody on a shift? Like, they started, and then you had to come behind them and do the same job.
Now, I'll do you one. I'm the Hackett of my last job. Hell yeah, I fucked it up.
So, like, just literally, if you work a shift, you're gonna talk trash about the other person. You work at a fast food restaurant, they don't clean, they whatever. If you they be on your computer, whatever, you're always gonna complain. And he got a hold of the worst coaching job that almost anybody's done in my lifetime. They could not even get plays off for the first 4 weeks. So bad, the crowd was counting down the play clock. He made a Hall of Fame quarterback look like he needed to retire. That's bad.
I want to pause here for a second and say I do not agree with Hall of Fame, but that's neither here nor there. They let anybody in these days. All right, back Wilson on track.
Was definitely going to go before all that.
He was going to go. Going to go, yeah. Going to go. Where he going now?
It ain't looking good.
The Billboard Music Awards? That's where he's going. Yeah, is he going to the Hall of Fame?
Why right did now? He even go? Does she make music?
I mean...
She still make music.
I'm not trying to get sidetracked, man. I'm not trying to get sidetracked.
What's going on?
But I will say this, that Sean Payton should know better, man. When you come in as stepdad, you know, you don't talk about the real father if he's still active in the kids' lives, because you just don't want to paint that picture, man. Just go do your job and correct all the bad things so mom can be happy. In this case, just do your job, make the Waltons happy. And move on. We all know. We didn't need him to say it, because I said it for what, fucking 16 weeks, 17 weeks last year from game one. You can look in the group from game one, Ronnie, every primetime game that the Broncos played in, and there was five too many. But every time it was, what is Hackett doing? What is Hackett doing? Was this guy really a high end offensive coordinator? You know, Peyton said he was standing up for his guy and Russell Wilson. Not sure if Russell needed that.
They just need to be in the film room. That's all they need.
Don't take shit you say back, man. If you meant it, stand on it.
Exactly.
I hate that.
And he said, look, I'm getting in my, I was an announcer last year. You didn't talk about anybody like that last year. Why didn't you talk about that man like that last year? But you help Aaron Rodgers and ingratiate. Don't talk about my coach. Shut the fuck up, Rodgers. You don't like anybody. Now, these people don't know who you are, so they like you. They gonna know who you are by week 8. And they're young.
Yeah, the media going. I just hope he's successful out the gate, and I have reason to believe he will be, because he got plenty of weapons. But damn, man. New York, you can win and still not be good enough for New York.
Exactly. And they play the Broncos and the Jets play week 4. So that's going to be a storyline, of course. And this is the kind of thing. And you don't have to criticize them, because guess what? If they get beat week 4, that's the whole story. So it just works itself out, you know? And my first thought was like, they can't be playing them for him to say that. And yes, they were.
Bro, do you know how low the bar is to be better than Hackett? They need to get like 15 a game.
I think it really was like 17. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. And I'm telling, I'm saying that off top of my head. Like, obviously, you can see me on the screen. I ain't looking at my phone or nothing. Like, literally about 15 a game. It was awful.
Now, it was this weekend, the fight of the century or whatever, or at least the biggest one since Pacquiao and Mayweather. And kind of a beatdown, unexpected beatdown. Promote your sports segment. What happened?
You said kind of a beatdown. Now that shit was a beatdown.
I was being nice.
You saw what Minister Farrakhan said. He couldn't even sleep after he saw how bad Errol Spence got beat, man. I told his congregation like a horror story. Like,
that was amazing.
He about to preach the sermon and talk about the white devil, this and that, and what he's really talking about is how he really witnessed black on black crime for the first time in a long time. He said, "I love my brother for Omaha." Both my brothers. But the beating he put on Errol Spence, you hear how he put that emphasis on? I was like,
that was some old man black talk.
Farrakhan got hangings, man. People be forgetting.
I have seen that. He's a very talented person. He plays violin. He does a lot, he did a lot.
But to your point, to the fight. To the folks who don't understand, this was a historical moment. Terrence Crawford has now unified two divisions. They're in the history of boxing. Boxing is probably as old as baseball. There's not many people that can say they did that for two weight classes. And I, for one, am on board with him saying, forget staying at 147, move up to 154, where he probably will still have decent success, and unify that division and then retire. He's 35 years old. He looked extremely sharp. And if anybody is confused as to why he beat Errol Spence so bad, it's very, very simple. Timing and spacing. You know, technical boxers, that's what they do best. They'll time you coming in, they'll time you coming out, but they dictate the space. Round one, Earl was, it was like the filling out round. You couldn't really tell because he was giving space to Earl to kind of see what's going on. And I think he said like round two or something like that, he got hit one good time and he was like, man, that's all he got. And he started working his game plan. And his game plan was to have a sharp jab, which, you know, a lot of people used to bitch about Floyd jabbing and boxing. And in general, people bitch about people who box, but that is boxing. And if your jab is effective, it will look like a damn power punch. And that is what happened to Errol Spence. He got his ass beat for 9 rounds, and it's unfortunate. And as a fight fan, as somebody who's followed Errol Spence his whole career professionally, I don't want to hear no bullshit about the accident, none of that stuff. That was so long ago. He had a fight in between that. He looked fine. The detached retina was before the accident itself, I think, or even maybe during the accident. But either way, the detached retina thing is 2 years old. He's been fine. There are no excuses. He hasn't made any excuses. So all this shit about him needing to retire and so forth and so on, I mean, it's the fight game, man. Like,
yeah, it's always gonna be somebody better. It's always gonna be a better bad matchup. It's like that, or you just get exposed because you didn't realize. You don't know the timing, the feel for fighters until you get in the ring. You don't get it. Mm-hmm. You really don't get it. How the matchup, how quick the timing, and all that. But we're not gonna discuss this. But I just want to see, after that thing I sent you, have you gotten it yet? Oh, it's acting silly. But I sent you something, Cardi B's latest escapade, and I won't even say it on the air. But I want you to defend that in person. I want you to defend that in public. That's what I want you to do on your Facebook page. I want to see how you spin this. Did you see it?
What is there to defend, man? I watched the white lady piss on a fan, man. Come on, dog.
That's definitely wasn't acceptable either.
She not Beyonce. You get what you, that's, you that's get what you pay
than,
for.
That's nastier than the normal. Moving on to Dax preseason pick. Just to describe it for people, Dakota Prescott. Dakota Prescott.
What? I can't wait to hear this. Describe it.
Dakota Prescott through his preseason fine training camp.
Hold on. I don't mean to cut you off, but like we're doing a visualization exercise. So I need you to start over. I'm gonna close my eyes, and so I need you to explain this to me as if I'm blind. I want to see it. So you're saying Dakota, your quarterback, is he doing a 3-step drop, 5-step drop? What are we doing?
Okay, so he took the ball under center, uh-huh. No real contact on the quarterback. I believe, I'm trying to visualize it. I think it was a 3-5-step drop. He drops back. No real pressure. Clean pocket. Throws the ball in the air. The ball is spinning. There's a spiral. And the camera pans over. And it looks like, you know, it's going to be all right. And then you see the ball go short. And a guy comes to the screen and grabs it. And then when the camera goes further over, you realize that guy came and it's double coverage. And the best part is, because, you know, training camp, they don't have the long camera. It's closer. There's one camera they do it. And he's throwing to a 5'7 dude in double coverage. That's the best. I think it was the rookie guy. I can't think of anybody, the guy at K-State. I can't think of anybody that small on the offense. But he threw, I'm assuming, a wheel route into double coverage to a 5'7 player. It was the worst interception I've ever seen in my life. And that's saying something, because I watched every throw Brett Favre did.
All right, I got three suggestions. Okay, so for every Dak Prescott interception, do you want the guy from Mortal Kombat that's like whoopsie, or do you want the Asian dude that says emotional damage? Or do you want the old school one that's like wah wah wah?
Possibly. Which one you want? It's gonna be fine. Like, and it's segment,
it's not gonna, it's be, gonna fine. Be fine. Stop Everything it. Is no. fine. No, 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 no. It is not fine. Dak Prescott's turnover ratio has significantly increased over the last season and a half. It's not gonna be fine. It is a mentality issue. It is an approach to the game issue. Somebody has talked to Dak Prescott and got him out like somewhere believing that he can make these plays that he can't make. And then when he makes the right play, your receivers don't catch it and the ball goes off their hand and he's still getting tagged for interceptions. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here and say that they were practicing.
So are you saying, the segment, are you saying this an issue or a non-issue?
Oh, I'm reverse Tony Mays. You got reverse Flash? That's me. Reverse Tony Mays. It's an issue. It's an issue.
I'm going to say his interceptions are an issue, but this particular play isn't. I don't, hopefully, because all of his career, he was never like this. So
yeah, what until I think, last year and a half.
Yeah, what I can think about that is I'm not, you know, people keep putting something in your head, it's in your head. I don't think some of those are bad luck. I'm not making excuses. He played poorly. That's the thing. He played very poorly. And I think he's still going to be the same inconsistent Dak that doesn't show up for the biggest games we need and as a front runner and dominates the games where we blow people out and we obviously have an advantage for whatever reason. I think that's who he is. Everything has to be perfect. If someone's hurt, he's not going to play as well as he normally plays. So his command of the offense, his brain power, I think he'll limit the turnovers because he's a very smart player. But I think the turnovers will actually be better. But, I mean, he can still have 11 and play every game. Okay, he didn't even play all the games. He missed 5 games. So
you want to make still, a bet? You want to make still, a bet? It don't even have to be for money. No, it don't have to be for money.
I'm good
on I'll let you pick the number. Any number between 10 and 15, if he plays the full season, I'll let you pick what number you think he'll go under. And 15. If he goes, all right, so 15. All right. So if he goes over 15 interceptions for the season, I'm going to buy you a shirt that's going to commemorate each interception. Oh, I'm going to have it custom made for you. And I want you to wear it when you do your DoorDash and every Monday night football game for the Cowboys next year. I want you to wear that shirt as a reminder.
I'll wear it on Monday night football. Hopefully we're not on it very much.
Yeah.
That's a deal. Right. We got it. Under 15.
I wanna point out some concerns that Cowboy fans have not talked about. You know, I love my Cowboys. I'm basically IBS Stephen A when it comes to the Cowboys. Number one concern is the talk of they're going to give Dak full reign of the offense.
That's disturbing.
That should not happen. One, because he does not have Aaron Rodgers' capability. And that's essentially what I think of when you say Mike McCarthy is going to give his quarterback full reign. That's going to be a problem to me. Two, your running game, we don't know what that's going to look like. And he needs that. He needs play action.
That's
he
another running back that's beefing.
Yeah, he needs play action. Probably. And the third thing is, have you thought all these highlights of Michael Parsons just dominating your line?
Well, it is Michael Parsons.
I got Nick Bosa on my team, man. Nick Bosa on my team. I went back and looked the last 2 years, and I can't find a clip of Nick Bosa just tossing Trent Williams around or dominating Trent Williams.
Nobody's going to dominate Trent Williams. We don't have anybody
I'm just saying – Yeah, and
here's he ain't doing it to Zach Martin, even though Zach Martin not there, but he wouldn't do it.
Because Zach Martin is he a tackle?
No, I'm just saying in general, right. He wouldn't do it.
Tackles are trash.
Well, that might
be true. He's not even beating them with power. He's beating them with quickness. Like, that's a glaring weakness.
You're not going to find players at that level.
You're not going to find quick-ass players in Philly?
Not like Parsons. He is
I don't think you got to be as quick as – you could be half as quick as Parsons. Are you watching your tackles?
It's going to be fine, man. It's preseason. It's going to be fine.
Jeff Schwartz. Look at
Jeff
Schwartz.
We're going to win 11 to 12 games. With 10, all right. I mean, 10, that's 11 games. Possible. We're going to win 10, 11 games off the talent, and then we're going to lose in the playoffs. I resign to that. Probably win the division. We might win 13 games and then lose the second round of the playoffs. I know what the deal is. They can get my hopes up. And then it's like if you're poor and you're expecting a Christmas present and you don't get it under the tree, the one you want, or with Charlie Brown, I'm not fine with it, but I know what's going to happen. All right, let's move on.
I just want to wait, hold on, real quick.
Talk.
I just want to clarify because you know your fans only listen to one thing. I'm not saying everybody's got a Micah Parsons. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying speed and quickness in general, that lateral movement that looks like your tackles can't defend is going to be prevalent in your division.
You guys just getting cracking, man. Okay.
All right, whatever.
We have Get Off My Lawn. Two lists came out this week. Dr. J, I don't know if you've seen him. Let me look him up. Dr. J and Shaq. And of course, Shaq's list had 11 people on it. Did you get a chance to look at the list, or you want me to read them to you?
No, I didn't look at the list because I already know what's on there, man. Why do we keep entertaining these old ass dudes, man?
Dr. J's list, who Dr. J said, even I don't think he said this, got to look at the interview, but they said he said he didn't pick any active players. But Dr. J's list ended in 1998, unless you count Jordan's comeback. He had Jerry West, which is his top 10 players, no order. Jerry West, fine, the logo. Oscar Robertson, fine. Elgin Baylor, awesome. Not top 10, top 20. Wilt, everybody knows how I feel. Bill Russell, most people know how I feel. Michael Jordan, Kareem, Magic, here's where it gets tough. Karl Malone. And to round it off, this is the best one. Nate Tiny Archibald. What? Now, granted, I'm not here to hate on Nate. The first player, the only player in a watered-down league, by the way, a drug-addicted league, but still, the only player in history to lead the league in assists and points per game. So all props to Nate, but come on. Come on, as Charles Barkley said, come on.
We got to get rid of boomers, man. We just got to get rid of boomers.
Now, last time he did this, he did have a second team, and it might have, I think it had LeBron and people like that, but that's tough. I don't understand. Like, this tells you, Tony Mays always likes to quote players when they're giving their list. You can't expect players to accurately rank other players, especially historically, maybe in the league, but historically, they just don't, they're so biased that it can't even, it's not to be taken seriously.
My top 10 list of any sport has to have transcendent stars, people that you can make an argument that no matter what timeline you put them in, they would be a top player in that era. And if you don't have LeBron James in there, I don't like LeBron, but if you don't have LeBron James in there, you're stupid. I'm sorry, you're stupid. Like the type of athlete that he is, you have to have him in every single era. You just have to.
You gotta be top.
If your list has Jordan,
and that's stretching.
Yeah, if your list has Jordan, yeah. If your list has Jordan,
should be top two.
Yeah. If your list has Jordan and there's 10 people, LeBron James better be in there, or it's not a valid list. It's just not.
Shaq, his list was even better because he had 11 people in it. But yeah, and this two goes. Of these people have are nowhere near, and one of them is one of my favorite players. Magic, fine. Kobe, and also Dr. J didn't have Kobe, which is weird. How could Tiny Archibald and Karl Malone be better than Kobe? But I digress. Bro. Kobe, LeBron, Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson. I'm not even mad. And you know how much I don't like Allen Iverson. It's just ridiculous. Karl Malone. I don't know why Karl Malone is getting that much love. Must be the, now I didn't go say what I want to say. Isaiah Thomas.
Well, love that's him. Already invalid. Already
maybe second invalid. Greatest point. I know you're a hater. Maybe second greatest invalid. Point guard of all time. Invalid. Invalid. That's what Jordan said. And then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but somehow had an asterisk because it's 11th, but I don't know why you would say Kareem's name. I don't care if it is in no order. You don't put Kareem's name last out of 11. I don't care. So what is Shaq? No Wilt. Like, what's happening? No Bill Russell.
Shaq's ego.
A big man doctor.
Shaq's ego is something
else. He put himself in there.
I can hear him now. Well, you know, big fella, you can't get in there without Diesel. Diesel's got
How would you be over? Okay, say you're over Will. You want to be ignorant, you're over Will. You got four, he got two. How are you over Bill Russell?
How are you over Kareem?
How you over Hakeem? Yeah. Well, he said no order. He said no order.
I mean,
which is the new coward way to do it.
I just hate that people don't understand what Kareem meant to basketball. It's ridiculous. In general, it's ridiculous. Across the spectrum.
And most times they see the old Laker Kareem. But if you look at Milwaukee Kareem, I mean, come on. One of the most athletic players you'll ever see. But yeah, people don't get it.
But yeah, I mean, Shaq's list is more ego driven. I don't know, man. Just can we stop asking people that literally don't watch today's
anymore
basketball?
And stop watching when NBC lost the contract for the NBA. Dr. J hasn't watched, and he was a horrible commentator. When they saw, I didn't even know he was a commentator. I saw some clips. It was rough. It was rough. It was real rough. Next we have Toss Up Tuesday. For some reason, people went at Dwayne Wade this week. Paul Pierce reiterated that he was better. James Harden was mentioned by Jeff Teague, who does really well. I'm not sure if it's his podcast or he's just a guest. It's very entertaining. But are either James Harden or Paul Pierce better than Dwayne Wade?
I think Paul Pierce should go somewhere and sit down. I think Teague's argument was for Harden.
Yeah.
I think peak Dwayne Wade, like prime Dwayne Wade that beat the Mavericks, is better than any peak James Harden.
Yeah. It happened in the playoffs for one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was going to say it's just simply because of his playoff track record. But the scope of his career, I think as a player, not with their accolades, but as a player, I think James Harden is a better basketball player for what he does on the offensive side and his ability to distribute. He's so much better at that part of basketball that I'm willing to overlook the defensive lapse and say that I would take him over Dwayne Wade. But Paul Pierce, man, I'm not even going to respond to that.
But I don't know why he feels like he should be over Dwayne Wade. He's just not there. He wasn't the kind of athlete. Dwayne Wade's like one of the all-time leaders, maybe the all-time leader behind Jordan or beat him, or block shots for a shooting guard and the steals and just how explosive he was. Everybody forgets because he plays so long. They forget, even before LeBron came, people forget what Dwayne Wade really was.
Yeah, like Wade has iconic moments, like iconic moments of like sheer athleticism. You know, the dunk on Anderson Varejao is like one of my favorite Dwayne Wade moments, even more iconic than the oop he threw to LeBron. But
when he put his hands up, that was incredible.
Yeah. But when it comes to Paul Pierce's career, not knocking him, but there wasn't enough flash. And then, you know, he actually truly couldn't get over the hump until he got some real help. And then if you look at Dwayne Wade, I mean, that version of Shaq that he got wasn't that great.
No, people forget.
And just in general. Yeah. And I think in general, whenever you power a team through the playoffs and you win a finals, you gotta get a bump for that. Like just the sheer individual effort to lead your team to a championship.
And dominating the way he did, even with referee's help, he still dominated.
Put my man Dirk in counseling, man. Remember that?
Yeah, it happened. Dirk needed a life coach after that. We're more than a sports page here. I always say it. Your girl, Cardi B, y'all can look up the nasty thing that just was reported for the most recent concert. But we're going back to, which I actually I got her back on this one. And I don't mind Cardi. She is what she is. But evidently, she was asking fans to spray her, had something to do with her songs. I only know one of her songs, and that's because it's wild. Wow. But so fans were gently sprinkling her.
God damn, bro.
What do you call it? Wap? Wop? I could say the real thing, but
you got to get it in order to know what it's called, man. I don't know.
Oh, I think I'm fine. I think that's the reason why our podcast schedule gets knocked off.
That's what you say, man. That's what you say. I'm just saying, like, geez, wow.
I don't listen to that mess. Get out of here. But
damn, English teachers.
I thought she... something she made up. Jesus. Oh, So she got, and the thing too, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was alcohol, but someone took a whole cup and just, you know how you if you visually people underhand, you toss a cup to make water. She responds by taking the mic and just with perfect aim, smacking the dude. I suppose it is. I think it's a dude because he made a TikTok. And calamity and chaos ensued. It's possible she may be charged for a battery. And of course, she will be sued. But the best part of the whole thing is she threw the mic and the song kept a playing.
I mean, that's standard. Like, these people ain't really singing in some of these concerts. I don't know why everybody making a big deal about that. It's a fucking rap song. It ain't like she actually singing vocals like Whitney Houston or something.
Like, Does it matter?
Come on, man. It's a rap song. But let me just go ahead and say that I don't care. Like, this segment has nothing to do with me. Like, that's my queen. I don't care. And, you know, I'm only doing podcasts and shit trying to go viral so I can either meet Cardi B or Jess Hilarious, and then I'm done.
Well, you know what happened to your last queen? Amber Rose. First of all, I found out she was Amber Rose.
Yes,
she was. That's where we started the whole Amber Rose thing. They both haven't aged well. That's all I'm gonna say.
I told you about Amber Rose story and it didn't work out for me.
Neither one of those ladies have aged well. It's been about 7-8 years. Neither one of those ladies have aged in different ways.
Prime Amber before the head tap was fine, man.
There was definitely something appealing. You know, I just had a stance.
I got off before the head tap and before.
But I can't even say pause because even though she's halfway bald, maybe. But anyway, you have some comments about this, but I'm gonna ask you this:
what
is Elon Musk? The Daniel Snyder of Twitter, because Twitter goes X-rated, but why would you buy something, any product, but specifically something that costs $44 billion and totally change what made it popular? And I understand monetizing it with the blue check shit, but
doesn't he have like Asperger's or something?
That's what they say. I've never seen it documented, but that's what everybody says. He got something.
Did we freeze?
No, we're here. We're here.
Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, like it's a little choppy. Are you there? So I'm not trying to make fun of him per se.
He's a billionaire. He's fine. He's made it through the disability.
Well, in
like
that case,
a multi-billionaire. Like,
yeah, I was like, well, actually, you know what? I need to actually watch what I say because I really believe he's like he's our multiverse. Lex Luthor. If we truly have aliens, once Elon loses his hair, I'm going to be concerned because if he goes bald, think about it. In all the movies, yeah, there's aliens or something. If they've corrupted somebody or anything like that, they always go bald. So I'm a little worried. But I mean, dude is everywhere, yo. I think Daniel Snyder had a direction. He was going straight down. Like Elon don't have a direction. He's just out here just doing whatever you want to do, man.
It's so weird. I don't understand what he's doing, calling it X and limiting how much people can see the content. I mean, he's trying to monetize it, but it's got the ad revenues are cut in half. 200 million people join Threads, even though it sucks, evidently.
He's showing you what freedom of speech really is.
White privilege is.
Yeah, freedom.
Yeah, this freedom. Is freedom,
You can have it until you bother me. Then I take it away.
Exactly. So yeah, that's a mess. Team Salty News. Everyone seems to be going crazy over Jason Aldean's newest song, Travis in a Small Town. I'll give you my opinion. I don't give a fuck. I think the memes are funny. I lost my black car a long time ago, so I don't care. But we make every single song under the book and we say it's an artistic expression of our lives. Saltines were scared by the protest and sometimes riots. He didn't say the name. The only issue I have is that it was at a place of a somewhat famous lynching. But you know what? I don't know how you would do a country music video and not eventually stumble upon lynching, because they did it so often and they want to forget it. So that is that. But it doesn't bother me. I don't care.
I mean, I'm at the point now. I'm not going to read between the lines anymore with these kind of people. And when I say these kind of people, I mean these fake-ass tough guys.
He's not from a small town.
Nah, but I mean, there is a valid argument to be made that Black people make songs far worse, and that is true. And if we wanna have equality, and I say that with air quotes, we do need accountability on both sides. Call me a sellout or whatever. I get it.
And I support those songs. That's a reflection of our lives. Either of us talking about killing cops or whatever. That's freedom of speech. That's art.
I play fuck the police for as loud as I could, and I worked in the courthouse.
And it's not my art. It's not my art. Remember that judge? That judge we talked about last time.
Hey, look. I just hit Tristan's toy and it's going off. That's not a real gun, people. Everybody relax. I'm not that pro.
hopefully they didn't hear that.
But what I was gonna say is that you know, at the end of the day, like, it's just there's a lot of things going on in society right now that I'm speaking from the Black perspective that we get offended and upset.
That's what you want to be worried about. Exactly.
That has nothing to do with us. Like, this has nothing to do with us. This is their shit. Let them fight amongst themselves.
Yeah, and country music television took it off. And that's why it blew up. And then after it blew up, everybody got mad. But it wasn't a big... And then he had to take off the footage because he didn't have the permission to use some of the footage. So, you know, he got... It's a racket. And some of the guys on this talk about it. I don't know if it's Jimmy or... It's not Ryan because he didn't say intelligent stuff about race. You're still my guy, Ryan. But it might be Nick, whoever it is. They say, I'm just tired of grifters. And it's the Kevin Nichols of the world. I said, man, do you care about Barbie? Do you care about Jason Aldean? Do you listen? They just tell you what to hate. It's both sides. They tell you what to not like, this week and what to be outraged about. Do you really care? Are you going to watch Barbie? Or are you just mad because the dude told you not to watch Barbie or it's bad? Or are you, I read this Christian article and the woman was taking a Christian stance against Barbie. Bitch, you ain't even seen the movie. So how do you know? It's pretty close to the Adam and Eve account. A man and a woman was created. There's no trans. There's no, it's a man and a woman. That's how they started out. You ought to go with it. But anyway.
Are you allowed to say bitch with white Jesus? Is that the Black Jesus in you talking?
Yeah, I don't think. Well, yeah, the Black Jesus would probably say that. So the real Middle Eastern Jesus would frown on that. But, you know, I just can't.
That sound like a Newport-infused bitch.
I know, the bad thing is I don't know how to smoke her. But I do need a Johnny Walker after this. But I
was going to say one thing that I always point out. In order to have an opinion, you had to have watched it. And then
that's important. That's pretty important. And I've read a whole
If you're a movie buff, like I consider you a movie buff. I got my old roommate Paul. I used to do the Mod Pod podcast with. Mm-hmm. He's a movie buff. So if you movie buffs, you guys get a pass. Go watch the movie. I know it means something to y'all because y'all watch the award shows and shit like that. That's cool. But if you just out here, come on, Barbie, let's go, Barbie.
I've read exhaustive reviews about it. I'm eventually going to do it. I'm not going to pay money, but I've read exhaustive reviews. So I know how the whole movie is going to go. And I still don't feel comfortable asking Joe and Sam questions, just going out there and saying, I would have to decide for myself if it's really man bashing or like, and if it is man bashing, like how many movies have we dominated over years? It doesn't, you know, with men being in control of the movie and depicting a woman, like, so what?
And it brings me back to my original topic. What man they bashing? I don't see no Black men in that job. I mean, Barbie won't inclusive? Like, let's be real. No.
Took years to get that Black Barbie.
We got too many fake woke people. This is shit we should be mad about. Where Black Barbie at?
I'm sure they put a person of color in there. America Ferrera's in there.
No, they got somebody in there. I know.
I'm sure they threw one in there. Yeah, you know that. But a real. Yeah.
But like in general, this isn't something like, it's not truly something that we should be relating to in the sense that it should move you to have an emotion. Like if you have an emotion, it should be gender based. Like, you know, women empowerment. Cool. That's fine. But it should, it, like, black people shouldn't be feeling some kind of way about Barbie. Like,
that's how not can we for relate us. To that? That's definitely not for us. That definitely, not, that should have been Team Salty News too. We diverge. But let's end it with some group news. I don't know if you saw it, but we had Tony Mays Appreciation Day. What's your favorite Tony Mays moment in IBN now, folks?
Him walking back how interceptions
he was inboxing me the other day.
He right though. I went back and looked, I screenshot all that shit, and I could make an argument that it's the Trump argument. You knew exactly what you was doing when you said what you said. However, I can't prove that you meant what we all assumed that you were trying to say. So I let it go. But
and also, it doesn't matter. Just like politics, if that sat, nobody cares about the context. If you had that bad soundbite, and that's a terrible soundbite.
It just bothers me that he still doesn't understand that 23 touchdowns and 15 interceptions is not the same as 40 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Like, it's the frequency in which you are throwing them.
Yes.
In relation to the touchdowns, it's not the actual sum of the interceptions. But I'm on my Farrakhan. I'm gonna pray for brother Tony, man. I see him going down bad with this man, Dak Prescott. Listen, no homo, but listen, I too have made mistakes. I've made mistakes with quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is the most recent one. All right. You have to know when to get off the ship. I got off of the Carson Wentz ship at the perfect time. I was skeptical when he came back from the injury. Nope. Y'all tried to throw me with him in Washington. I was like, absolutely not.
He still was trying to hang on with the Colts though.
The Colts. Oh yeah. No, I ain't gonna lie.
He wasn't horrible. He just had bat-breaking mistakes.
And that's Dak Prescott.
When they need it. Yeah. Future. That's what's been happening too. And that's what I said too. It's not so much the interceptions because some of them really weren't on him, but it's the timing of them. But it's also something wrong. It's like those drops, like the drop in Jacksonville, and I saw one in training camp. Like it'll hit the dude right in the chest. It's almost a timing thing, or he's throwing it too hard, or maybe he should extend it. I know everybody says hit him in the chest, but when you're only 5 yards away, maybe not. Or I don't know. It's something off with his timing with the and a couple of them, they would say, oh, well, Lamb needs to cross the face of the safety or whatever. But Kurt Warner was saying, it's iffy what he's doing. So I think a lot of it is the communication. A lot of it is him not playing the whole time and having sight adjustments, which every offense has that. And if you're not on the same page, then, and I'm not sure that, and I think Dak is cerebral, but I'm not sure Dak is at the level of Tom Brady was saying, you got to be in this spot. Like Tom Brady would kill you. If you didn't make that slight route adjustment, you weren't going to be there based on how the defense is. And Peyton Manning was like that. And I have a good story. Peyton Manning, I can't remember what tight end it was, but the tight end was saying, Peyton is yelling at me, he's cursing at me, he's screaming at me because I'm not in the right spot. But the tight end's coach said, I'm supposed to be here. And he went to Tony Dungy. And Tony Dungy said, do you want the ball? Then you probably should do what Peyton says. So his coach is like, you know, you've got to be in the exact spot. And if you listen to the great coach players, but I'm concerned, like sometimes that would happen to Romo, that we don't have the offense coordinator to be that detailed where the game's on the line and it's an inches game. Is that guy going to be on the right blade of grass? I think that happens too much because Dak's not at that level and we don't have anybody coaching our offense to do that. And I don't know how we
now, I don't usually do this, but I want this to be a soundbite. I want this to be replayed in the group when you do that one clip from the show.
Where did Matt Rhule go back to? Where did Matt Rhule go back to?
He's in Nebraska.
Somebody asked me a trivia question. Can't remember. Keep going.
Yeah, it's Nebraska.
Trivia every Wednesday night.
But for the record, since you mentioned Brady and Dak was the topic, if you have any questions as to whether he can do anything Brady can do or anything of that nature, you should ask your brother.
Black Brady, baby.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. We can do it next week. Shout out. It's almost It's almost Jay Holla season for him to start. He's already started trolling. But you got some big plans coming up. And if I ever get around to it, I'm going to do some TV shows, but things are really busy. But what are you doing right now, podcast-wise?
I am going to move the college football podcast to just audio only. It'll be a little bit easier for me. I'm getting on the Stephen A thing. I probably do have too much on my plate, but my focus will be on doing our TikToks. If you guys are listening, if you listen to the podcast, definitely follow the TikTok.
Give me the handle, I will be doing, if you remember it.
Yeah. It is, yeah, because this is all new to me, man.
TikTok. I'm
officially old, man. My goddaughter was roasting TikTok me, is bro. Tough.
It was different. Awful. It took me a long time. It was like IBN_3 or something like that, or IB Network_3.
It's at IB.network3.
Okay.
That is the handle. But I will be doing more stuff. Obviously, as we get further into the season, I plan to do things more frequently. I'm not going to put any like gambling stuff on there. I think, if people want to just reach out to me for gambling stuff or obviously join the All-Star
Coming group. All-Star. Yes.
Yeah. Cause I will be posting a lot more stuff in the All-Star group. I am actually headed to Vegas, next Wednesday to register for the Westgate Super Contest.
Here we go. Let's do it.
Yeah, I know. So we'll see how that goes, man. If I was lucky enough to keep the percentage that I had last year, I would have won a shit ton of money. But we'll see how it goes. Yeah, it's a little bit trickier because unlike the contest with my bookie, where you could just up until kickoff you can make changes, Westgate doesn't allow that. You got a certain deadline. You got to make your changes by, and that number is that number whether it changes or not. So that's going to make it a little bit trickier. But I am very happy to be in that position to where I feel confident enough I can enter the contest. It is $1,000 to enter, and I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that so people know that when I do lose, I will be pissed because I got a lot of money invested in this.
That is a lot of money.
So yeah, so I will I'll be taking NFL very seriously. Again, still dropping back doing college football. I'm gonna do reels from Maction. I know everybody loves Maction. So I will be doing reels specifically for Maction. And then you'll also get reels of everybody's favorite capper under the age of 10, Tristan, will be on every primetime game.
All right. Don't forget to please rate and subscribe. And for Actively Lazy, this is the commish asking you. Got a minute, fam?